All right, we're holding on Lamed Dalet Omud Beis, six lines from the bottom. We learned yesterday at Braisa, we're discussing the question, which things that come from a grapevine exactly are also to a nozir. We had the Chachamim saying only things like grapes and raisins and wine and vinegar and things like that. We included also things like unripe grapes and spoiled grapes and whatever. And then we had Rabbi Lazar saying that also leaves and lulavim, which are the new soft growths at the tips of the branches, are also included. So we're discussing why that is. We mentioned, so in this connection, we brought a long braisa that described that we're learning by a prat to klal to prat, which is the opposite of what we're used to. We're usually used to klal to prat to klal. Here it's the other way around, prat to klal to prat. And the Gemara is going to go through later on Lamed Hei Amud Beis. We'll talk about what the actual difference between those is, what the difference is between klal to prat to klal versus prat to klal to prat. So we said that Rabbi Lazar is learning, on the other hand, using a different method called miut v'ribui v'umiut, which is therefore he says that you're excluding only very little. All you're excluding is the actual branches themselves, but you're including everything else that could potentially be eaten. Tosfos points out later on, and we'll see at the end of the sugya, that there is a difference, even according to Rabbi Lazar, between the softer leaves that are more edible and the harder leaves that are not. So here we're talking about, so he'd say the softer leaves are included as well. Anyway, so we brought a long braisa that discussed the ins and outs of that. So now the Gemara is going to quote a piece of that braisa and analyze it. Omamar, so we said before in the braisa, e maha prat mforish pre-gomer. If we say prat or klal or prat, the prat includes anything which is pre or psoilus pre. We said which is fruit or the psoilus or the waste of fruit. So it includes things like vinegar, which comes from the fruit. It includes things we said like spoiled grapes, which at one time were fruit and so forth. So we said e ma prat mafurish pre-gomer. You might argue that the prat is specified that it means a fully ripened fruit, because after all, that's what vinegar is made out of. That's what wine or vinegar is made out of. Afko pre-gomer. So we should say that only what's included is any kind of completely ripened fruit. So it wouldn't include unripe grapes. And the Brais had said, Amrit, in that case, you would have to say, Ken ma'aniyah ha'kasav mashmoy shalai omrei. In that case, you'd have to ask, what is the pasuk including with the prat or klal or prat that it didn't already say? After all, anovim lachem v'yaveshim haksivi, it already says fresh and dried grapes, yayin v'choymetz haksivi, and it already says wine and vinegar. So you've already covered everything that comes from ripe grapes. So the Braisa says, thus, Eino lechaladin koloshen achron, ela koloshen rishon. So of necessity, you can't judge the second way that you wanted to say that the prat or klal or prat is going to teach us about that it has to be a fully ripened fruit, because in that case, you really wouldn't have anything to add. Of necessity, it has to be talking about not about whether it's ripe or whether it's not ripe yet, and it's including unripe fruit as well. And therefore, that what it is the prat teaches us it has to be pre or psoilus pre, either actual fruits or the waste products of actual fruits, but they can be ripe or unripe. So then the Brai said, continue, no ma'achar shesefeinu l'rabes kol davar. Well, if in the end we're going to be including everything anyway, ma tamad leima mechatzanim v'adzog, then what are we learning from the fact that it says mechatzanim v'adzog? Why is it putting a klal, why is it putting a prat mechatzanim v'adzog anyway? You should have just had, it should have said that you have the prat, that it says that wine and vinegar, then you would have the klal, which is everything, which is mikol asher ya'aseh migefen hayayin, everything that comes from the grapevine, and there's no need for the prat afterwards. What is the prat accomplishing for us anyhow? And the answer is, loy malach, the Braisa said, it comes to tell you, kol makom shabta moitze prat or klal, it's telling you a more general rule of the way prat and klal works, that if you find the prat and klal, and you don't have a prat after them, you can't just drag it away and then judge it and say that all you have is a prat or klal, and then say, ke'ena prat, and you would say that all you have then is that you're going to include things that are only similar to the prat. Ela nasa klal musaf ala prat. On the contrary, when you have a prat or klal, the klal is telling you to add everything to the prat. Ad sheyifrit l'char kosev, unless the pasuk tells you specifically k'derach shaparet l'chav benozer mechatzanim v'adzog, like it does with a nozer where it mentions grape seeds and grape peels. In other words, the point is, you're right, here by a nozer, the mechatzanim v'adzog is not really adding anything, the braisa is saying, because we already know that we're including everything. According to, once we said before, that we're including pri and psoilus pri, so we're including anything that comes from the fruit or anything that comes, whether it's the actual fruit itself or whether it's waste product. Either way, we're including all of it. So we really didn't need the mechatzanim v'adzog. We only have it in order that teaches us in general. You should know the way that prat or klal works is that prat or klal in general means that you include everything unless, as in this case, you have another prat afterwards. So the Gemara asks, well, in that case, now, what about Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, who said, we learned yesterday in the Mishnah, that he learns that the words mechatzanim v'adzog, loy mashen chayiv ad sheyich obez chatzanim v'zog, that he says a person's not chayiv, the nazir is not chayiv, unless he eats at least two seeds and at least one peel. There's a girsa that they reach that some of the Rishonim have, shnei chartzanim v'zog gon, that it would be the two chartzanim and their peel, meaning that the peel, according to him, would have to be from the same grape as the seeds came, and then he would be chayev. We talked about yesterday the idea that it might be on the grounds of beria. Whatever the case, the point is, according to him, so he actually is learning something from chartzanim and zog, the fact that it says chartzanim in plural and zog in singular. So pratim anole, so where does he know then the prat? So according to him, then how does he, so according to him, there's no prat or klal or prat. According to him, you're using the prat for something else. The answer is okay. Savalak Rabbi Elazar de darish miut v'riba. Fine, he holds like Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, who holds that we're darshaning using miut and ribui. And Rabbi Elazar had said that a person is chayev, even for that the nozer is chayev, eating the leaves or the lulavim. So fine, Rabbi Elazar, what Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria would hold like that as well. So it comes out, in other words, Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria is machmir in two different ways. Number one, he says, in a way there's a kula, because it means that if he eats only one grape seed or only one grape peel, then according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, he's not chayev, or even if he eats a whole bunch of them, as long as they don't amount to a kazayas, whatever, he's still going to be potter. But he'd have to eat two seeds and a peel specifically. But now Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, we're also saying, is also machmir in another way, namely that if he eats the leaves or the lulavim, then he'd also be chayev. That's another chumrah that Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria would hold. And the Gemara continues, V'yiboyisema, another way you could understand it. K'rabanan, another way you could understand is fine. You could say Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria agrees with the other Chachamim and says that we do learn a prat from that one. But he would still say you actually could darshan both. You could use the words mechartzanim v'adzog as the second prat, as well as you could also learn from it about the idea about the two seeds and the peel, because he would say, if you're going to tell me that it's only, the pasuk is only telling you what Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria says about the two seeds and the peel, then the Torah could have written these words mechatzanim adzog together with the other pratim. Let's consider how is the pasuk laid out. It says it starts by saying that he should miyayin v'sheicher yazir. He has to hold off from wine and from vinegar. He's not allowed to drink wine and vinegar. Then it goes on and mentions other than then it says mikol she'yosim gefen ayayin, anything that's made from grapevines. Mechatzanim v'adzog, and then it continues and says mikol she'yosim gefen ayayin. Only then does it mention mechatzanim v'adzog. If the purpose of mechatzanim v'adzog was only to tell us that about the prat and klal that we were saying before, and about pri and psoilus pri, then the Torah should have written all the pratim together. Instead of having the pratim, some of the pratim, and then a klal, and then more pratim, it could have put them all together, and then we would say that we would learn from that. So therefore, the fact of l'may hilchsa kasri basa klal, why instead did the Torah take some of the pratim, the chartzanim and zog, and put it only afterwards? That must be to tell us that you should judge it using klal or prat. So we can actually learn both things from that. So he doesn't have to hold, in fact, that that a person would be chayev for eating the leaves and whatnot. He could actually hold that, like the chacham, he'd be potter from those because he's learning with klal prat, unlike Rabbi Lazar, we said, is learning with ribui miyot ribui. And still, also, he could learn his din about the two seeds and the peel. Okay, well then the Gemara asks the other way around. Well then maybe say the other way around. Maybe say the whole thing is coming for that. Maybe it's only coming to teach us about the prat to klal prat. How does Rabbi Lazar ben Azarya know that it's also teaching us that if a person eats two seeds and one peel, then he's chayev? And the answer is im kain. If that were what the pasuk meant, lichtov oy shnei chartzanim oy shnei zagim oy chartzin v'zog. The Torah could have written two chartzanim, or it could have written two zagim, or it could have written one chartzin and one zog. Tosfos has a slightly different girsa that it could have said chartzanim or zogim. Or it could have said chautzen and zog. Whatever the point is, it sort of amounts to the same thing. In other words, the Torah is telling us chautzanim, which is seeds in the plural, and on the other hand, it's telling us zog, which is the peel in the singular. So the fact that it's doing that, Shmamina, therefore, Rabbi Lazar ben Azarya would say that you have two drushes in it. L'midrash be'klal prat. On the one hand, the order of things in the pasuk is coming to tell us the klal prat. V'ikanami, l'midrash be'ad she'echol shnei chartzanim v'zog. But we can also darshan, Rabbi Lazar ben Azarya says that it means also when he eats two chartzanim and a zog, and without that, he's not going to be chayev, because otherwise the Torah could have written them both in the singular or both of them in the plural. The Gemara continues now. Now we have to ask, according to Rabbi Lazar, who said that in this case of the Isurim of the Nazir, he's darshaning them with miut ribui miut instead of prat or klal prat, and the result was we said that therefore he ends up including many more things. He ends up including things like grape leaves and grape lulavim, even though the new growths over there at the tips of the branches. Even though those are not actual grapes, and he's learning that because he's learning by ribui, he's learning by miut v'ribui. So we have to ask, according to him, klal prat menale. So where would he know the whole concept that there can exist such a thing as a prat or klal prat? Meaning, in other words, like this, according to the Chachamim, we have this as an example, and we make a binyanav from it that we can learn that in other cases we can darshan in that way. But if Rabbi Lazar is holding that you don't even have prat and klal over here, rather you have miut and ribui, then where is he learning it from? Now, Tosfos asks the obvious question, okay, so maybe he doesn't hold of it. And the answer is, we have other places, the Gemara is assuming that if he doesn't hold of prat or klal or prat, then he doesn't hold of klal or prat or klal either. And we see that there are other places in Shas where it uses klal or prat or klal to darshan various things, as the Gemara is going to give us some examples now, and we don't find that Rabbi Lazar argues on them. So therefore, we have to assume that he agrees with the basic concept that there is klal or prat and prat or klal and klal or prat or klal. Only in some cases do we find, in fact, that he says that you do ribui miut ribui, but we don't find it across the board that he does that, so therefore we have to ask, then where is his example where we actually have that he holds of klal or prat or klal? So, in fact, the Rosh learns somewhat differently. That actually, the Gemara is asking that Rabbi Lazar, the Gemara is asking that in general, when Rabbi Lazar holds, we're not asking about in general about klal or prat or klal. That would be something else. But we're saying that we do actually, we're asking about prat or klal or prat. This kind of thing that we have over here, does Rabbi Lazar ever darshan that anyplace else? And so we'll see. So we'll see how he darshans it. So the answer is Amar Rabba Bohu Nafgale Mahaikra. Rabba Bohu says that Rabbi Lazar will learn it from a different pasuk. You have by a shomer. The pasuk says V'chiyitin Isha Re'ehu. If a person gives to his friend to watch Chamur Oshur Oseh, he gives him a donkey or an ox or a sheep. Now that is prat. Now, those are specific kinds of animals. Then v'chol behema, then it says he gives him any kind of animal, klal, and that constitutes a klal. Here also you have slightly different girsas, whether the girsa that we have over here, v'chol behema, the klal, is the Mefarish has it that way. Tosfos has a slightly different girsa, where the word is actually the word v'chol, is the code, without even the word behema, is a klal. Anyway. So there you have a klal that would include everything. And lishmer, or behema lishmer, according to Tosfos and Girsa, chazer uparat. When you have lishmer as another prat, because you're telling us that he's only giving him something to watch. And specifically a behema to watch. So chazer v'kol. So therefore chazer uparat. So you have another prat. Prat to klala prat, and we say iat don elakein prat. So therefore, we learn that the dinim of shomrim that it says over there, the dinim that if he's posheya he's chayev, the dinim that if he's a shomer socher, which is what that pasuk is talking about, is that he's chayev for gneva v'aveda, and so on and so forth. So all of that only applies to things that are similar to the prat. So iat don elakein prat. So therefore, and we learn from that, therefore, that it only applies to davar hametalt over gufay mamon. We learn that the dinim of a shomer, the dinim of a shomer sachar specifically, and for that matter, all the other shomerim, apply only to davar hametalt, only to something which is movable, the gufay mamon, and where it itself has intrinsic value. So therefore, we're mamayet two things from that. We have, on the one hand, we say that karka, that land, is not included. So if a person asks somebody else to watch his land, to watch his house or his field or whatever while he's away, and something happens, then you're not going to have the regular dinim of shomerim apply to that, because land is obviously not movable. And for that, and by the same token, shtoris, documents where they're IOUs or whatever, those are metaltal, but they're not gufan mamon. They don't have intrinsic value. The value of them is really only in the debt, in the money that it says in them. So therefore, and we do learn prat to klal prat that way, and we say therefore, and Rabbi Lazar doesn't disagree with that. So therefore, we see that there is such a concept of prat to klal prat. Rava Omar, Rava gives a different answer. Nafkalei mehai kro. There's another pasuk we can learn it from also. The pasuk says by karbonis. You have like this. The pasuk says the pasuk says karbonah. If a person brings his korban from tsoin, which is a general term that means general tsoin is a general term that covers both sheep and goats, and then it continues that if from the sheep or from the goats, then he should bring it tamim. So we do the same kind of thing. So v'im min prat, when it says if he brings from, then that would be a prat, that min means only some of the tsoin, not all of them. Then it says tsoin, hatsoin klal, the word tsoin then constitutes a klal, because it means everything that is in that category of tsoin can be included. And then habehema, then it continues that a person brings the behema, or actually, so the you have sorry, I skipped a couple of lines. So he said then kvasim v'izim, then it continues that if he brings sheep or goats, chazer or porat. So there you have another prat. Again, you have prat or klala prat, yadadon elakena prat. So then you only say that the only things you can bring are similar to the prat. So therefore, so you learn from that that the animal for a korban has to be the animal for a korban has to be a tumim. And it can, but it can be even over a year old. Even though you have certain karbonos where you have an age limit on them, but here you have that the pasuk is telling you a prat or klala prat, and the words minatzon karbonim minakvasim minaizim doesn't give an age limit. So therefore, with many karbonos, you don't have an age limit. Tosfos first of all points out that one way of understanding then that the prat would mean that you're excluding, for example, revea venirba, an animal that was used for bestiality. It could also include, for example, conceivably that something that when an aveda was never done with the animal itself. So now, on the one hand, we would say the aveira of revia is something that's done with the actual animal itself. The animal itself is used for an aveira, as opposed to, for example, let's say a person hitches up two different kinds of animals to a plow and pulls a plow or a wagon with them. We know he's over on an issu kilayim, but in a way, like the issu wasn't done with the goof of the animal itself. So Tosfos ends up not liking that, though, because, after all, for example, the fact that Revea and Nirba, we actually learn the miut of that from a different pasuk. Rather, Tosfos concludes that that's exactly what it is. In other words, that the prat would tell us that you can only bring all korbanos have to be animals within a year old. But the word keves, after all, means an animal under a year old, and the word eis also. But then, because we have ke'ena prat, then we could include even the prat will tell us to exclude a baal mum, which fine we have explicitly elsewhere in psukim, and the klal would tell us to include even animals that are over a year old. That's how Tosfos learns. The Rosh brings something somewhat similar to what to Tosfos's first possible explanation, that the min excludes reveya and nirba. It could conceivably, you would think, that would include also animals that we used for averus, for example, hitching them up to a plow as kalayim or whatever. And then the klal tells us to not worry about the ones where the avera wasn't done with gufoy, namely, for example, one where it was hitched up to plow. With kilayim, after all, you can bring that as a korban. You're just excluding the ones that were reveya and nirba and whatever. Okay, again, the point is that Rabbi Lozer doesn't disagree with that. So therefore, we see there is another example of prat to klal prat. So the Gemara asks, "Amalei Rav Yehuda mi diskarta l'ravina l'rova v'leilaf min hodin kra? Why can't we learn prat to klal prat from another pasuk?" We have like this, an earlier pasuk. You're bringing a pasuk about korbanos, so in Parashas Vayikra. You have a pasuk, a few psukim earlier, that you could have learned it from. You have a pasuk that mentions, in general, the animals that you can bring as korbanos. You have a pasuk that says that a person brings a korban, mina behema mina bakor mina tzon, takrivu es korbanchem. So you would say min prat. You would say the min is a prat because it means only certain kinds. Ha behema klal, and the word behema would be a klal, and then you would say, so with that alone, you would say, if you only had that, it would mean you could bring any kind of animal as a korban. Baka v'tzayin chozer porat, and then you have, it mentions cattle and sheep, or cattle and tzayin, which again is a general term covering sheep and goats. So then you would say prat to klal prat, you have to done elakein a prat. So why don't you learn from that? And then the result is, the result would be actually, so what would we learn from that? So you could actually learn from that you would have. So you would say, fine, the prat is mentioning domestic animals, but the Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Peretz that maybe you could include a shor habor, a wild ox, because even though it's a wild animal, but after all, on the other hand, it's somewhat similar to the domestic animals, maybe you could include it. And then the Mefarish brings a different possibility that you have, for example, an osham we know has to be brought as a mature animal, as a ram or an adult male sheep. But maybe you would also say that there's an aid that there. Maybe you would also say that you couldn't do that. You could bring, for example, even if it's younger than that or even if it's older than that. So why don't we learn? Why so Rabbi Yehuda Midiskauta is asking Rava, why don't you learn from that? And he answers, Amalei, Iminhai, Lekala Mishma Minah. From that pasuk, you can't learn anything, which is why I didn't mention it. To Imehosim, because if you tried to use that pasuk, Havamina, then you would think, never mind that. Habehema, Chaye Bechlal Behema. We know in general that the word Behema sometimes is used in a general sense, and it also includes Chaya. So therefore, if the Torah said Minah Behema, then conceivably it could already include Chaya. And what would you end up saying? You'd use a prat or klal or prat. You'd say that there were some Chaya, some wild animals that you could use as korbanos, obviously not. Therefore you can't learn like that. So of necessity, we can't say that we're learning a prat to klal a prat from there. But Rabbi Yehuda still answers back, Chaya b'chal behema. What do you think? You're asking, you're suggesting that we could have understood Chaya to be included in behema? Hoksib bok of etzayin. After all, the pasuk continues, bok of etzayin, v'havale prat to klal, v'yatadon elakein prat. So you have over there a prat to klal and another prat after that as well, and you would have to judge it like the prat. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is saying to Rava, you could have learned from that pasuk as well. There's no reason why you had to skip over a few psukim and go to a later one. Fine. So now that we have that, the Gemara continues. Okay, so now we said we asked how we know that Rabbi Lozer darshens prat to klal prat. So we're saying because we had these various drushes which he didn't disagree with. So now the question is, how do we know that in fact we're supposed to learn like that in the first place? All of these, we brought psukim where we have these examples and we're darshening that way, but where are the chachamim finding the example where we actually have something where you have a prat to klal a prat? So the Gemara says, "Manolam dehachi hu." So how do we know that? In fact that we daushin like that? How do we know that we daushin using klolim and perotim anyhow? So Tanya, we learn in a brisa regarding ma'isa sheni money. We know you have to bring the money to your shalayim and you spend it there on food. What kind of food can you get? So the brisa says, the pasuk says, "V'nasata akesa v'cholasha ta'av nafshecha." You can spend the money on anything that your soul desires, anything that you want to eat. So that would be klal. That would be a general thing that you could buy any kind of food with it. Then babokor vatzona vayayin vashecha prat. Then it mentions four specific things: cattle and sheep and wine and strong wine. That's a prat. So then if the pasuk stopped there, it would mean you could buy only those four things with ma'aser sheni money. Then it continues v'cholasha tishocha nafshecha. Then it continues anything that your soul desires, chazav kolal. So that's another klal. So klal a prat to klal iat the donor l'kein a prat. So then again, it means that the klal is limited to what is in the prat. Therefore, maha prat mefurish. So what's specified in the prat, pre-mi-pri, you have two things. Number one, all of these things are a fruit that grows from a previous fruit. You have the bokar and soin, the cattle and the sheep, they come from a mother that gave birth to them. The yayin and shechar comes from grapes, which ultimately were planted from previous grape seeds or from grape branches that were stuck into the ground or whatever. And so therefore, so the pre-mi-pri, you have one fruit that derives from a previous fruit. The gedulei karka, and all of them grow directly or indirectly from the ground. The wine and shechar comes from grapes that grow in the ground. The bokar and soin eat grass, which grows from the ground. So afkol primi pri gedulei karka. The same way we would learn that what can you spend ma'aser sheni money on? Only things that have those characteristics primi pri gedulei karka. But for example, you wouldn't be able to buy water with it because that's not primi pri and it's not gedulei karka. You wouldn't be able to buy. You wouldn't be able to buy salt with it for the same reason. Tosfos points out then that another example is, now you'd be able to buy birds with it because birds are also primi priva gedulei karka. On the other hand, fish would not be included because fish are not gedulei karka in the sense that fish don't necessarily live off plants in the water. Some species of them do, but some kosher species of fish live by eating other fish. So maybe those other fish eventually eat seaweed or whatever, but it's too far down for it to be considered gedulei karka. As opposed to kosher animals, of course, are all eat grass or seeds or what have you, so therefore they're all more directly gedulei karka. And Tosfos points out that yes, Rabbi Lazar does disagree in this case. The Gemara mentions in Erevin that he disagrees in this case and holds a mirut ribui. He would hold, in fact, that you could buy fish with ma'aser sheni money. He just says you can't buy water and salt because those are not similar at all. Anyway, so from that we see that we have this concept of klal prat to klal, and we say iat dona elakena prat. So the Rosh explains that the Gemara knows that they're both basically the same. The Gemara is going to point out a slight nuance of difference between them now, but basically they're the same. Therefore, the Gemara can be asking how we know prat to klal or prat, and reply that here's how we know klal or prat to klal. Okay. Well, the question now becomes, mechti klal or prat to klal ke'en prat dainenan. Well, we have to ask. When we have a klal or prat to klal, we end up saying that that the klal includes only what's similar to the prat. So klala basra mayahani. So what is the second klal including? If we just had klala prat, wouldn't it be the same thing? And the answer is no. Ahani lo sufa, called the domi lay. The second klal would tell us to include everything that's similar to it. If we didn't have the second klal, then we would just say that it would be only the things listed. So say, for example, ma'aser sheni that we just mentioned. If we didn't have that second klal, we would say that what's included, what can you buy with ma'aser sheni? Only the four things mentioned in the pasuk, bokar, tzayin, yayin, shecher. Because we have the klal at the end, tells us to include other kinds of things that are similar to those. Okay, the Gemara asks for two prat to klal or prat keina prat deninan. Well, let's ask the other way around. When we have a prat to klal or prat, we're saying that we're including anything that's similar to the prat. So prat to basra mayahani. So what is the second prat adding to us? If we only had prat to klal, we would include everything. And the answer is yilav prat to basra, just the other way around. If we didn't have the second prat, have amin and nasif klal musaf ala prat. Then we would say the prat includes everything, even beyond the prat. We would say, in other words, that we would really focus only on the klal, and we would say that it includes everything, and we wouldn't even know to limit it. So, for example, let's say with Ma'aser Sheni money that we were just saying, we would say you could include even water and salt. So the Prat at the end comes and tells us that no. Elsewhere, the Gemara talks about, so why we need the Klal of Prat anyway? Why don't we just have the Klal, or why don't we just have the Prat and do it that way? And the Gemara elsewhere talks about the idea, because if you didn't have that, if you only had a Klal and you only had a Prat, you could use some of the other Yud Gimel Midas on them. You could say that maybe, for example, the Prat, we would learn a Binyan Av from it and learn other things as well that are not anything similar to it. If we only have the Klal, we would use some other Midah and say that it's limited. So like this, that when we have clearly a Klal of Prat, or Prat or Klal, or Klal of Prat or Klal, or Prat or Klal of Prat, then it tells us don't use any other midis, just douchen it that way. Tosfos also discusses over here, and this is going to be this is going to continue on in the next piece of Gemara over here, that there can be a difference. When we have a klal or prat or klal, let's say, which klal is the more important one, the first one or the second one? And that makes a bit of a difference how much we're going to include as a result of that second klal. So Tosfos discusses some of the ins and outs of that. So now the Gemara asks, umechti, now let's consider something else as well. Train klali uprata, or train prata uklala, klala kain prata dainin. And either way, whether we have klala prata klala, or whether we have prata klala prat, either way we're judging like the prat. We're saying anything that's similar to the prat, we're including, and everything else is excluded. Ma'ika beni or beni. So what's the actual difference between the two cases? Why does sometimes the Torah give a klala prata klala, and other times a prata klala prat? And the Gemara answers, Ika, there is a difference. The either tauten klali or prata, when you have two klalim and a prat between them, klal or prat or klal, e ika prata the domile afilu b'chad sad, then when we have a prat that's similar to it, even in only one way, merabinan, then we're going to be able to include it. Today prati or klala, but when we have, as we talked about over here, for example, in the case of a nazir, we have a prat and then a klal and then another prat, we're going to say, e ika prata the dummy mishneitz dadin, then we're actually going to say, only if we have a prat that's similar in two ways, in two or more ways, marbinan, only then are we going to include it, b'chad sad loy marbinan, but if it's only similar in one way, then we're not going to include it, because the fact that we have two pratim with a klal between them shows that the Torah wants to limit the scope of it more. When you have two klalim, then you have more reason to be marbe. That's one reason. And then Tosfos discusses a point from Rabbeinu Peretz that the vote would be that Gemara in Eruvin that talks about klal or prat or klal in connection with Ma'aser Sheni talks about what is the main thing, the second klal or the first klal or the second klal. So therefore, when you have klal or prat or klal, you have a second klal, then it comes to include more. Only because of the first klal are we being mamayat anything. Otherwise, we would have been mired by everything because we would have prat or klal. So therefore, we end up we end up limiting it, but not too much. But then on the other hand, if you have prat or klal or prat, then if we say that according to that way, the second prat is the more important thing. So therefore, it's basically coming to be mamayat. And then Tosfos talks about, then goes on to say that according to that, it would come out then that if we say the other way around, if we say the first klal is the main thing, and in our case, the first prat is the main thing, then actually we would have the kind of the other way around, that in one way we'd want to reduce the scope of it as much as possible, and in the other case, we'd want to increase the scope of it as much as possible. Tosfos also asks the question that earlier in the sugya we had things, for example, we had about the shomer sachar. We said it needs to be similar in two ways. We said it needs to be dover amatal tover gufon mamon. It has to be something that's movable and has intrinsic value. And because of that, we were memai both land, which is not movable, and shtaris, which have no intrinsic value. There also before by Ma'aser Sheni, we also said the same thing, that it has to be pre vigidule karka. So Tosfos says again that may also depend on this question of just how much we're going to be mamayit and how much we're going to be marba according in the different possibilities. So in fact, we mentioned before the Chachamim against Rebbe Lazar, the Chachamim would say that the first klal is the more important thing. Therefore, prat to klal or prat is more similar. So therefore, when we have a klal or prat to klal, we can only include things that are similar to it in both ways. Whereas Rebbe Lazar is going to say that we look more at the second klal, and the prat before it is going to include everything. Is going to include any even things that are less similar to it. And Tosfos goes on to discuss some other ways of understanding it. Anyway, so now the Gemara asks another question. Mechti pratu klal nasa klal musaf ala prat v'israbi kol mili. So let's consider, when we have just pratu klal, we said the klal adds to the prat, so we end up being marba everything. Now, we also have umiyat v'riba nami riba hakol v'israbi kol mili. According to the opinion such as Rebbe Lazar that we hold by miyot and ribui, then also we end up saying that we're including anything, everything. Ma'ika ben miyat v'riba, the prat uklal. So again, what's the difference according to those two respective opinions between miyat and riba and prat uklal? And the answer is ika, there still is a difference. De ilu if we use prato klal, then we would say that we would include everything in the case of a nazir. So even the leaves and even the new growths would be also to him. As opposed to miyat v'riba, but if we use miyat and riba, here in fact we said according to Rebbe Lazar, we have a miyat, a ribui, and another miyat, therefore we can include more things. But if we only have miyat v'riba, then we would say lulavim ein olin loy, but we would include lulavim because those are after all soft, but not the leaves. Tosfos points out here we're talking about like the hard leaves that are less edible, so therefore we would have said that they're not included. So instead, because we have a miyat v'riba even umiyat, then we end up including those. Then we end up including both the leaves and the lulavim. Now, Taka, what is the reason behind that? Why should ribui, miyot, ribui, why should miyot and ribui have a different scope than prat and klal? So Tosfos brings a long thing over here from Abenu Peretz. He explains, based on something that Rashi explains, when you have a klal of prat, what it means is, in other words, so you have a klal, then you have the prat comes and like kind of undoes the klal as if it doesn't exist. When you have ribui and miyot, the miyot is not taking away the ribui as if it didn't exist. All it does is it's adding some things and subtracting other things. So therefore, when you have a prat and then a klal, then you have the klal causes us to sort of ignore the prat as if it didn't exist. So therefore, we end up including everything from the klal. But if we say miyot and ribui, then after all, we have the miyot itself is a miyot after all. Even if it's before the ribui, it still comes to exclude something. So therefore, we end up excluding something. And the same thing when it comes to klal or prat, and the same thing would be the other way around. And when it comes to klal or prat or klal or miyot and ribui so forth, then you have all these various nuances of how you're going to include and exclude things, but all based on the idea that a prat sort of undoes the klal that's before it, whereas a miyot doesn't necessarily undo the ribui that's before it, and vice versa. So therefore, that would be the reason for the distinction, and that would be how it is then that Rebbe Lazar versus the Chachamim end up darshaning differently over here, and Rebbe Lazar ends up including the Olim and Lulavim, what we're saying over here, among the Olim themselves. He includes only the soft ones, but not the hard ones, and the Lulavim, by definition, are soft, and he includes them anyway, and as far as the only thing he really excludes altogether is the branches. Yeah.